The Bible says, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of to thee. Perhaps you remember the story of Jacob. Remember that Isaac was the father of two sons, Jacob and Esau. They were twins. From his birth, Jacob was called the supplanter because, in a sense, he actually preceded Isaac or Esau in birth. And yet, Esau was considered the firstborn. Well, that carried out in life. And as the boys came to manhood, their old father grew very old and his sight was very dim. Seemed like he wasn't long for the world. And so he said, go out to Esau. He said, go out and find me some venison. Cook it in a savory dish and bring it to me, that I may enjoy it. And so Esau went out on the hunt for deer. In the meantime, his wife heard the word, and she favored Jacob. So she said to him, quickly go out and kill two kids of the goats. I'll prepare savory meat, and you give it to your father because he'll give you the blessing. And so that's what Jacob did. He said, but he'll recognize me. My skin is smooth. He's a hairy man. She said, we'll fix that. We'll tie sheepskin on your arms, and when he feels, why, he'll think it's Esau. So that's what he did. He fed that to his father, and his father said, this is good. Come near and let me kiss you. Well, when he drew near, the old man smelled his garments, and she had put Esau's garments on Jacob. The trap was all set and fixed. And he said, you have the voice of Jacob, but the arms of Esau. And the smell of the field is upon you. But I'll give you, he gave him a blessing. And the blessing was wonderful because it was the birthright that Jacob was desirous of. Well, a little while later, Esau came in from the hunt with his meal. And he said, well, who was that brought me the other? Well, of course, the ruse was discovered, and Esau was very angry with his brother. He hated his brother because of that. And so the hatred was so intense that Jacob was advised to leave by his mother. Go up to Padan Aram. There you will find my brother, Bethuel, and marry one of his daughters. She said, I can't abide these women in this place. They're not fit for anything. and I wouldn't have you take a wife. I couldn't bear to have one as a daughter-in-law. And so Jacob sets out on a journey to Haran. It was longer than a day's journey. Pretty soon, night overtook him, and he was off in a strange place, a young man away from home probably the first time. Alone, it seemed like he was the only one in the world. In a pitiful little effort to lie down, he heaped up some stones and used those for his pillow, and finally went to sleep. And in that sleep, he saw a dream, and he saw the gate of heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the ladder. It was a wonderful sight. He saw the Lord standing above the ladder and heard him say, "I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father and the God of Jacob. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." What a great and wonderful and marvelous promise, because that involves you and me tonight, friends. You see, that involves our families, because he said, "In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So in that dream, there is a portent of something that's good for you and for my family. Well, you know, back yonder, God spoke to the patriarchs in various ways. In fact, in Hebrews 1 and 1, the NIV says, "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways." God sometimes spoke through dreams. That was a fantastic, wonderful dream. One of our songs that we sing contains an allusion to that occasion. You remember that song that says, "Though like the wanderer, the sun gone down, darkness be over me, my rest a stone, yet in my dreams I'd be nearer my God to thee, nearer my God to thee, nearer to thee. There let the way appear, steps unto heaven, all that thou sendest me in mercy given, angels to beckon me, nearer my God to thee, nearer my God to thee, nearer to thee." Jacob aroused from slumber, and he was scared. He said, "How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." Jacob, grandson of Abraham, to him was given the same promise that was originally given to Abraham. Jacob knew the dream was not of something that existed then, something in the future, but he didn't understand the nature of it. Now, we can see a beautiful picture in our time here upon the earth, but to him it was all a mystery. To us it is a reality. You see, in the beginning, God selected a line. First, there was the line of Cain, and this contained many wicked people. And someone who was great and grand and important was to come through another line. You remember when Cain killed Abel, God appointed another seed. Adam and Eve had another son. His name was Seth. And from Seth, there was Methuselah, and Noah, and Shem, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, on down the line till they come to David. And when we get to David, the line is divided. One line was through Solomon, the other through Nathan. Both of these were sons of David. Now from Solomon on to Joseph and Christ, that was given in the account of Matthew, in Matthew the first chapter. From Nathan to Mary and Christ, that's given by Luke in his genealogy. The promise was remembered until Christ came. "In thee and in thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed." Well, I've skipped a lot of history of the Old Testament, We went through 10 generations, you know, there from Adam up to the original Abraham, but from Nathan to Mary and Christ. We read it in Luke. Well, do you remember what Jacob said when he awoke? He was dreaming of what would come later on and would fulfill the promise. Here's what he saw. He saw heaven opened. That must have been a grand and wonderful sight. John saw that over there and fell down at the one who revealed it to him. He saw a ladder, and he saw the angels of God ascending and descending upon that ladder. It was something new and strange to him. And if it had been something had to do with the worship of God, probably he would have understood what it was. If it had involved sacrifices for sin, smoking altars, and death and shedding blood, probably he would have understood that. But heaven was not known to many people of that day. The highest ambition of most of those people was simply to live in the land of Canaan, the land of milk and honey. The highest ambition of a Jew at that time was an earthly possession, better material things. God's promise to them was fulfilled in giving them the land of Canaan as their possession. Now, suppose I had a dream tonight. You know, I guess most people know I like books. Suppose I dreamed of a place where there was every book that was I was ever looking for. Well, that wouldn't be strange. I wouldn't be very surprised. But this was something that was different. It was different. It was something that he had never seen before. And so that proves the ladder didn't exist at that time. But as time rolls on, the day begins to dawn, however, and you and I can see the curtain rise, and we can look upon that grand picture of the ladder that reaches all the way from earth to heaven. Remember, when we find the fulfillment of that dream, we will find three things. We'll find heaven open. We'll find a ladder and that reaches to heaven. We'll find angels of God descending, ascending and descending upon the ladder. Now, let me point out that the ladder didn't exist in the days of Abraham or Isaac or Jacob, did not exist during the rule of the judges or the era of the prophets, or even in the time of John the Baptist, that ladder did not exist. Not until the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ do we see this ladder come into existence. Turn now to John 1 and verse 51, and we hear Jesus saying, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open." Now that shows that heaven hadn't been opened up to that point in time. It's now about AD 30, and at this point in time, heaven hasn't been opened. Not yet is the time for the fulfillment of that great event. Therefore, it must have taken place after the ministry of John the Baptist and the beginning of the work of Christ. Hebrews 9 and 8 states, "The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing." Now, what was the holiest of all? My friends, that's an allusion to the tabernacle of the Old Testament. You remember that the tabernacle and later the temple was composed of an outer court, which was called the court of the Gentiles. Then it had an inner court called the holy place. And beyond that, where no one but the high priest went once a year, was the most holy place. Those were indicative of, I believe, the holy place represented in figure Christ's church here upon this earth. The most holy, of course, represented ultimately the place that we refer to as heaven. Now, he said the way into the holiest of all, the most holy, was not yet made manifest or plain while that first tabernacle was yet standing. The tabernacle, of course, was the place where the Jews performed their worship to God. Now in Matthew 27 and verse 50, he tells us how long the tabernacle stood. The Bible says, "Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Not from the bottom to the top, but from the top to the bottom, showing that no human hand did it, that it was the work of Almighty God. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, that forever destroyed their worship of animal sacrifices in the temple. Notes, he says, the way into the holiest of all, heaven, was not made known so long as the old tabernacle stood. Well, it stood, friends, until Jesus died on the cross. Therefore, the ladder did not exist until after the death of Christ. Now, men have speculated about the ladder. How many steps did it have? How many rounds on the ladder were there? Well, the Bible doesn't tell us, and we're not dealing with the opinions of men, because this is not a human institution, this is God's institution. One of Jacob's ladder there's only one. And you know what? It forms a connection between earth and heaven. Man's always thought of going to heaven or going to a better place. Even our American Indians believe there was a happy hunting ground to which they go at death. But this is a ladder that goes to heaven. A need for it is obvious, or God certainly would not have gone to the trouble to provide it. But whatever it is, it's a link of humanity to divinity. What is the need? Well, God's in heaven. Man's on earth. God is a spirit. Man is mortal. Man is corruptible. God is immortal and incorruptible. God is glorious. God dwells in light, ineffable light, while man is here corruptible on this earth. Now, you know, no human eye can see God and live. The Apostle Paul, before he became the Apostle Paul, got a glimpse of the glorified Jesus, and it struck him blind. Moses wanted to see the face of God, and God said, no man can look upon my face and live. No human eye can behold him and still live. On the other hand, man is so weak and frail, corruptible, mortal, of a few days and full of trouble. His body came from the dust. This contrast demands a connecting link that will bind humanity and divinity. I think some people do not realize how vast the difference is between God and man. One of the prophets said, you thought that God was such a one as you are. Man thinks that. He remakes God in his own image. And we hear people sometimes say, oh Lord, come down. Well, don't they realize, poor things, that if God came down, they would perish in a moment. Well, you remember the story of Moses, how that he wanted to see the glory of God, and God told him he couldn't see his face. And he said in Exodus 33, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Well, Moses' face, while in God's presence, absorbed so much of his glory and light that he had to veil his face when he came down from the mountain because the Israelites could not stand to look upon it. Some men have been known to say that they saw God. I knew a man one time, and knew of him, who would curse and declare that he'd seen God. Well, of course, no one can see God and live. So we need a ladder. We need a link to heaven. Seems impossible, doesn't it, for God to bind poor, weak, pitiful, sinful man to himself. Humanity and divinity cannot link together without a miracle. It's like trying to weld wood and metal together. Now, I've heard some welders who can weld exotic material, you know, material that maybe would send somebody to the moon or something, and welders can do that, but they have to be very skillful. But I've never heard of anybody who could weld a piece of metal to wood. As you know, the wood would burn up, and that's pretty much like what it would be with man. But think back to the beginning. Go way on back as far as your mind can go. The Bible says, in the beginning. That's as far back as anybody can go. And back yonder, when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy, one was referred to as the Word, and he was later identified as the Christ. And the Apostle John said of him, without him was not anything made that was made. What a glorious thing that is. So God sent him to be the ladder. Did he come as he was? No. He had to be prepared. He was divine. He had to lay aside that glory that he had with God before the world began. And John said, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hebrews tells us he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Hebrews said it behooved him to be made likened to his brethren. Jesus also said in the Hebrew letter, in Hebrews 10, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. So Jesus would have to have a body, a human body, prepared for him, that he might live as a man, suffer as a man, die as a man, before he could redeem humanity. So Jesus took upon himself the form of man, the outer man, of course, for he was already the inner man in one sense. What a glorious mystery that is. In him was that same immortal, incorruptible, glorious creature who was in the beginning with God. And in him was man, all of his weakness and all of his corruptibility. In him was man, and in him was God. In him was divinity, and in him was humanity. Thus, his humanity could reach to man, and his divinity could reach to God. He could talk to man, and he could see his face, and he could talk to God. So that must be the ladder. He's the ladder that reaches from earth to heaven. He's the link between God and man. Now, there's more proof of that in the Scriptures. For example, in John 14 and 6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Wouldn't the ladder then be the way? Of course it would. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And he says, no man can get to God except by him, because God's in heaven and man's on earth. Christ must be the ladder. There's so many passages that bear upon this. For example, in 2 Corinthians 1 and 20, he said, all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen. Again, in 2 Corinthians 5, 17, he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5, 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us, Paul said, the ministry of reconciliation. Christ is the place where God has promised to meet the sinner. Hebrews 9 and 15 says, and for this cause he is the mediator of the new covenant, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Thus, every spiritual blessing that comes to us has to come through Christ, because in him all the promises of God converge. The Bible says also that every spiritual blessing is in Christ. So when we pray, it has to be through a divine channel. Some, of course, pray and do not mention Christ. I presume they're ashamed of Christ. But we continue. Now, what we need is a passage from the Bible showing heaven open, the angels, and the ladder, and here it is. Oh, I'm going to read only a part of it in the beginning. John 1 and 51 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open. Well, that's the part we read in the beginning. But now let's read the rest of it. And the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So there you have it. You have the ladder, you have the heaven open, and you see the angels of God ascending and descending. So Jesus is the ladder. He's the way. If you want to be saved, you have to go through Christ. There's no other approach to heaven. He also is described as the door. It's a figure. The reason he's referred to as the ladder, it is because that is through Christ that we come to God and that we ultimately get to heaven. Now, to get to heaven, we have to go through Christ. We have to get into Christ. But somebody said, Christ is in heaven. How do we get into heaven? Well, of course, we can't get into Christ, literal body, because it's in heaven. But there is a way to get into Christ, and that is in a figure. You know, the Bible says that Lazarus died and went into Abraham's bosom. Now, no one believes that he actually went into the literal bosom of Abraham. That's just a figure of speech. And at the Lord's table, you know, we give thanks and we say, this is the body of Christ. It's not his literal body. But there's another thing mentioned as the body. And that's found over there in Ephesians 1 and verse 20. It says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him in his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So the church is his body. When we get into the church, we're in his body. When we get into the church, we're in Christ, where all spiritual blessings are, where all the promises of God converge. Hence the importance of the church. Now, he's the way. He's the way. And he's the ladder. And that's the body of Christ that we enter when we are obedient to the gospel. Now, what are the rounds of the ladder, or the rungs of the ladder, we might call it? Is faith one of the rounds of the ladder? No, but we have to have faith, don't we, to even approach the ladder. Faith has to be along the way. Is repentance one of the rounds of the ladder? Why, no. We have to repent to get in a position to climb the ladder. Is baptism one of the rounds of the ladder? No, you might think so, but it's not. Because we have to be baptized to get into Christ, don't we? Over there in Galatians 3:26, he says, you're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. When I was a little boy, I used to sit on the front seat and hear Fred Kerbo preach. He'd always say, now I'm going to make it so plain all these children up here on the front seat can understand. He said, we have to get into Christ. He said, now I want you to notice this. Take his coat off, and he'd say, now, when I get into my coat, I put my coat on. And that's the way you get into Christ. When you get into Christ, you put on Christ. That's what he says there in Galatians, the third chapter in verse 26. Well, when we get into Christ, there's where all spiritual blessings are. Listen, there's where repentance remission of sins is. There's where salvation is, according to Ephesians 1 and 20. There's where the promises of God of redemption and forgiveness and answer to prayer and many other things that we could mention. That's in Christ. We get on the ladder by being baptized into Christ when we believe, repent, and are willing to confess or acknowledge Christ. Well, then what? That's just the beginning, isn't it? That's when we start our climbing to success. And that's the reason the Apostle Peter said over there in 2 Peter, the first chapter, he said, add to your faith virtue. and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence, listen, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if we do these things, ye shall never fall. So these are the means by which we climb the ladder. And it's not enough to be at the foot of the ladder. No, you know, I heard a preacher say today on the radio, he said, Jesus said, you're the light of the world. Have you hid your light? Are you using your light? Has your light gone out? He said, you're the salt of the earth. You put your salt back in the salt cellar? No, we want to spread that salt around. We want to let our light shine. And so we want to live the virtues that are mentioned here by the Apostle Peter. Now, somebody says, well, what if we start to climb and we fall? Well, you climb again. You try again. You see, we can add all of these things at one time. You don't have to just add them one at a time, because as we ascend the ladder, we use all of those Christian virtues. We step on virtue, and we use knowledge. We don't leave virtue. We reach back and take it along. Somebody says, well, can we climb down on the ladder? You know, on a literal ladder, you climb down. No, there's only one way to get down off of this ladder, and that's to fall. And you don't want to do that, because the Bible says that that's worse than the situation you were in to start with. I've talked to people, so I said, well, how could it be any worse? You know, if we were lost to start with, how could it be worse if we fall away? Well, you're lost with the knowledge of what to do to be saved. You know, I believe one of the things that will make hell almost unbearable is the fact that maybe the gospel was within our reach. Maybe we knew what to do to be saved. Maybe we fell away and knew what to do to be restored to God's favor, but we didn't do it. That will be haunting. You know, you say, well, I'm not like that fellow over there. He never heard the gospel, but I knew what was right. I knew. My old mother taught me. My daddy taught me. I heard the preacher preach a sermon on that. It'll be more than we can bear, spiritually speaking. But however, if we continue on up this ladder, we add those graces to our lives, we live a shining example of a Christian life, at the end of life's way, Jesus will say, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Won't that be grand? Oh, it's wonderful that through obedience to the gospel, we can take advantage of that ladder, realize the reality of that dream that Jacob had so long ago, when he said, in thee and all families shall all families of the earth be blessed. I'd like to ask you tonight as we close this lesson, have you obeyed the gospel? Have you begun to climb on the ladder that will take you to heaven? Remember, there's only one way. That's through Christ. Not through Buddha, not through Muhammad, not through some other false religion, but through Christ alone. He's the only one who ever promised eternal life, who could back up the promise, because he was raised from the dead. John said over there in closing his epistle, many other signs also did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing, receive life through his name. So, if you believe in Jesus, then take those next steps. Repent of your sin. Determine that you're going to cease to do evil and learn to do well. Confess your faith in Jesus as the Son of God. Be buried with him in baptism and rise up to walk in newness of life. And you'll be in Christ. You're baptized into Christ. Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He says in Romans 8 and 1, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So we're not condemned. We have a hope of eternal life, and we have a way to get to glory ultimately and be with God forever. I may be speaking to someone tonight who needs to obey the gospel. Is there a man or woman, boy or girl here who's willing to walk down the aisle, repenting of sins, faith in Christ, confess his name before this audience tonight and be baptized for the remission of sins? That'd be wonderful. I wonder if there's a person here who needs to make wrongs right. If that's the case, wouldn't you step forward while we stand and sing the song selected?